Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to Off the Mark. I'm Andrew Hughes. He's Aaron Hughes. Let's get right into the news. Batista is out of the WWE. Why? Because he said the product sucks. What's going on, Aaron?
Yeah, he said that he was sick and tired of the direction that WWE was going in, and he had to get out. You know, he missed the kind of wrestling he grew up watching, and also, I mean, the era of Stone Cold and The Rock. He really liked that stuff, and unfortunately, when he got in, it was just right after that era, and when he started getting big, they were still kind of in a transitional phase. And then, you know, I mean, last year was when they decided that they wanted to be more kid-friendly product, and he said he didn't really want to do it anymore. And the other thing, too, because there wasn't just that, there was also issues with movies, you know, that he was supposed to have a picture deal that ended up going to Triple H, and I think one went to somebody else, but I could be incorrect. And then he also is going to be joining MMA.
Oh, he's going to fail, dude. Here's why he's going to fail. Because he's not an athlete. He's a bodybuilder. There's a big difference between the two. When Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley left to do MMA, they were already athletes. They were not just bodybuilders. They were athletes. It's proven
yeah,
Bobby Lashley.
Brock Lesnar, I mean, he tried out for the Vikings. You know, I mean, he yep. actually wanted to be a legitimate athlete. So,
And that's the thing. I mean, he is an athlete opposed to someone like Batista, who is a bodybuilder and who will fail. I mean, he may be able to kick your butt in a street fight, but you know, that can last 15 seconds. When you got someone in a enclosed area, someone takes him down, he is done for. He will get his butt kicked, and I will laugh when that happens. But yeah, so that's why he's going to fail in MMA. In other news, actually, Facebook, the WWE Facebook account, actually asked, should they bring back Bryan Danielson, or as you hear the chants now, Daniel Bryan? That seems like it's a stupid move. What do you think, Aaron?
Well, you know, we talked about this earlier, and I really wonder if it was actually the WWE asking, because I could see it being their social media marketer asking this question, because Vince McMahon is a huge control freak, and I don't see him okaying this. I don't. But then again, I mean, maybe, who knows, maybe he did, but it's just, it's kind of interesting, you know, and not only that, but the responses they got. I mean, damn near all the responses they got were, yes, we want him back. We need him back. You know, I mentioned to you earlier that even I posted on there and I said, you know, Daniel Bryan is not just the future of the WWE. He is the future of wrestling. And I think that is just one of the most poignant things I could have said, you know, because he really is. He is wrestling. You know, he is the Kurt Angle of his generation. You know, he is the Bret Hart of his generation, or the Chris Benoit. He is a pure athlete. So I you know, I'm glad that they asked this. I think that they may have got some really good feedback from it. So I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll actually see them change their minds. I mean, they did it once before with Matt Hardy when they yep. You know, booted him, and
that
the
was
fans
a
won
big
back.
Mistake though with Matt Hardy, dude, because he found out that his girlfriend was cheating on him with, you know, Adam, and, you know, there was a fine line that they needed to bring him back. Because in order to make, as everyone knew what was going on behind the scenes, they needed to bring him back. And the fact was, did he actually work Ring of Honor, or did he, or was he supposed to and he had to go out?
No, he actually did work. Okay. If I remember correctly, he actually came back and he had commitments, and WWE said, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and honor your commitments. Mm-hmm. So,
one thing I didn't like is when he going off topic, when he actually did come back and he was in the backstage area, that's how you knew it was a complete work. That's what sucked. I mean, if they would have just had him come through the crowd and beat up Edge, that would have been a different story. But the fact that he was backstage, they were like, oh, it's a work. So, but anyways, JR actually said something about Danielson as well. He said he wasn't fired because of the whole campaign thing, which is, dude, there's something behind the scenes that they're just not telling us, because he was fired for, you just don't fire someone just because you're like, yeah, I'm going to fire him over something like that. You usually suspend him, take him off TV for a little bit. That's fine. But you don't let him go You know, that doesn't make sense.
I'm surprised by that too, but you know, Vince McMahon, apparently from the reports we read, Vince McMahon fired him personally because he was choking the ring announcer, and that is, you know, uncalled for because it's a PG product, even though other people do it, and because he spit on John Cena when he was on the ground, which is something that, from what I read, our wrestlers clear that with the other wrestler first. So, you know, Danielson went to Cena and said, you know, I'm going to spit on you. You know, I'm gonna, you know, like when you're on the ground, I'm going to spit on you. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. You know, that'll, the intensity will be there, you know? So,
right.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, I still think Linda's campaign had something to do with it, but I don't know. But one thing is for sure is that Shawn Michaels is very upset over Danielson's firing, since Danielson was his former student, and Shawn Michaels mm-hmm. also saw the huge potential, yep. and not just potential, but he said, like, he's going places. Like, he will be main eventing WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, I still agree with that. I mean, and my point is, whenever you hear someone chant Daniel Bryan, how many times do you hear that in a show? NXT, I heard it. Raw, I heard it. The pay-per-view, we heard it. I mean, SmackDown, I take that back. I think SmackDown did not have
it. They edited it out.
That's the reason why. But I find that hilarious that it's like the Goldberg chants back in the day with WCW. People used to chant his name, and then they would try and drown it out by someone else, you know, by some other saying. And I guess what ticks me off the most about this whole situation is that he just needs to come back. Just bring his butt back. That's it. That fixes everything. Just bring him back. That's all you have to do. But Wade Barrett and Drew McIntyre, who I can give two craps about. Oh, I do. Actually, I like Wade Barrett. I take that back. Are they gone from the WWE?
Yeah, so their visa's expired. And apparently Drew McIntyre had to, him and Wade had to get their visas renewed, and they couldn't work while they did so. So Drew McIntyre wasn't on SmackDown this week, and Wade Barrett wasn't on Raw. So it was kind of weird to see Raw without him, whereas you had six NXT members, or the, as they call them now, the Nexus. But it was kind of funny since, you know, 1 week they came out there with only seven. You know, this week they came out there with six. So, I mean, I don't know. Next week they'll, you know, get rid of Michael Tarver. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Yeah. Just something that I read earlier today about it, I guess they're going to be okay. They're both going to be back next week, which is going to be kind of nice. Yeah. So, I mean, and they said they weren't expired, but they were going to be expired. And they said take care of some business overseas, which I don't think is a big deal to me because, you know, as like a professional well, not an athlete, but as an entertainer like they are, I don't see a big deal about it. You know, but some you know.
No, it was still kind of surprising that they didn't do it earlier. Oh, yeah. Especially Wade Barrett because, you know, his stock is going up dramatically. And, I mean, they're expecting really big things from him. And Drew McIntyre, I can understand a little bit. They can do an easy storyline with him. Getting rid of him, but Wade Barrett, it'd be kind of weird to have just six other people, which they did anyway, you know, so it was kind of weird. But one thing, though, that we reported on a few weeks back was that Tara, or Victoria, was going to be coming back to the WWE because they were in need of women wrestlers. But now, apparently, she signed a deal with TNA, and they're going to work her back into the storyline somehow, even though she had a career versus career match. So what do you think about that?
Oh, I hate when they do the career versus career matches, and then, you know what I mean? Like, I hate when they do it and they don't stick to the storyline. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, they just need to, when you do a storyline, you stick with it. The fact that she's now coming back, that's kind of dumb. It's really dumb. I don't care. She's coming back great, but, like, you need to stay with storylines. You can't just, like, stop them just because you feel like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of stupid. And I mean, the thing is, though, they need more women wrestlers in, you know, within TNA. I mean, WWE is in the same boat, you know? So, but, I mean, TNA, they got rid of Roxy. I mean, she came back off of surgery, and they're like, yeah, we don't need you anymore. And they got rid of her. So it was like, what's the point, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Apparently, they really want to bring her back. So
you know what else is stupid? No more knife-edge chops in the WWE. Or until Ric Flair is done with TNA.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. WWE bans the dumbest moves.
Pile driver.
Over you know, we're going to ban vertebrakers. We're going to ban everything possible. And they're banning a knife-edge chop because the fans go, woo! Which is like, an homage. You know, it's an homage to Ric Flair, you know, who is a legend in the sport of wrestling, just in the same way Hulk Hogan is. You know, if they were with a rogue promotion or not, they're still a legend in your business. Mm-hmm. And if anything else, they say TNA is that's below WWE. You know, that's not even a national promotion. So, I mean, does it matter that much? Mm-hmm. The other thing, you know, which this is going a little off topic here, but I got to ask you, they're coming up with their 100 greatest wrestlers of all time DVD, WWEs. Okay. So are you going to see Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan on there at all?
But they may just do a simple thing real fast for him. But I actually, as much as I hate to say it, you'd almost have to put Hulk Hogan number one.
Exactly. Like, you think about who's done the most for the sport of professional wrestling. You know,
Hulk Hogan number one.
And you know nothing about wrestling. Let's say you know nothing about wrestling. You know, you're going to know two names.
Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, if you're old school. But nowadays, I don't think people would. But I think if you asked your wife, you know, well, not your wife. Let's say we asked our mom, okay? She would say Hulk Hogan. She would say probably The Rock, I would think.
Yeah. So. I think she'd say The Rock first, then Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
So, and that's the weird part. So who's done more for the sport? You know, Hogan? Yes, because Hogan stayed. Hogan stayed for so long, and The Rock, well, The Rock stayed a long time, but he got out, but he still promoted wrestling, and he will come back.
So here's my question for you then. Will either of those two, like will Hogan or Flair, will they be within the top five?
They better be. But you know they'll probably have something dumb like Triple H number one.
Probably.
And he hasn't done much. I mean, what, he was in Blade. Big freaking deal. Look what Hogan's done. Hogan basically worked every single day. Every single day of his life. He never got a day off. If he got a day off, people were hounding him, following him. I mean, it's just like a movie. He was a movie star, basically. A big-time movie star. He was a Leonardo DiCaprio at one point. So, the other thing we wanted to talk about, also, Vince had a couple black eyes a couple weeks back, and I thought it was because, you know, Linda told him something once, and then she had to tell him something twice, you know, who was the boss. But it turns out he had some cosmetic surgery. What do you have done?
Yeah, I don't know. The only report that I saw was that, you know, we speculated that, well, he probably got into a car accident. We doubt he got into a fight. You said, well, maybe he was sparring, you know, and he got hit, you know, between the eyes. But it turned out it was actually cosmetic surgery. So I don't know what exactly they did, but that's actually apparently the updated report. So.
Weird. Yeah. So Fatal 4-Way. I thought was actually not that bad of a pay-per-view. We had Ray winning the world title. Evan Bourne beat the crap. Actually, Jericho put over Evan Bourne, I should say. And Sheamus won the title in the shadiest way known to man. That was the pay-per-view.
I've seen worse.
Well, okay, I'll give you that. But like Ray winning the world title kind of surprised me. I'm still surprised. Yeah. Evan Bourne going over. That didn't surprise me because Evan Bourne they're now pushing him as a main eventer, which I think he should have been a long time ago. That's just my personal opinion, but
I am so surprised at this, though. I mean, you have no idea how surprised I am. Rey Mysterio getting pushed, to me, made sense just because he has such a following.
A Mexican following.
To see, like, you know, the small guy go over, you know, all of these other people is a pretty big thing. And, I mean, Ray is very small. But, like, the thing, though, that I think with Evan Bourne is that he, to me, is more of a fly-by-night guy. And I like him. I really like Evan Bourne a lot. I love his shooting star press that he does. He does it very well. And I like the way that he wrestles. He is a great wrestler, a very good wrestler. But I don't know if he could be a main eventer. I don't even think he could even hold like a U.S. title, in my opinion. But I don't know.
I don't know. Want to bring that discussion into right now. But
yeah.
But I see him. See Rey Mysterio. I never saw him win the world title ever. Never saw it once. He won it, and then all of a sudden it changed things. Jeff Hardy. I'm still surprised when Jeff Hardy won the world title. If you'd have told me he would have won it, I would have been laughing in your face. Still to this day, because I never thought he'd ever win it. And he did, and then all of a sudden he got to that next level. Rey Mysterio, same thing. He got to that next level. And I think if Evan Bourne was to win, it would be one of those fluke things where like it's a four-way or something like that. and he's, it's like when DDP won the world title. Not once did you think that DDP was going to win that night. No, I think, I don't know if we watched the pay-per-view together, but we never thought he would win. Never thought. And then when he won, we're all like, what? DDP won the world title? It was just a shocker. Evan Bourne, just, I think that's all he needs. He just needs that one title win. And then I think he's a main eventer. And they won't have to, then they won't even have to do anything for him. He'll just, you know, he'll sell himself. But what do you think, dude?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think the pay-per-view itself, I mean, kind of going back to the overarching, what we were talking about, the pay-per-view was not that bad, but something that you and I talked about before was that you can do so many different Fatal 4-Way matches, and I am so surprised that they didn't, because every match was the same. You know, the Fatal 4-Ways, you had three Fatal 4-Way matches, they were all the exact same match. And you can do them very differently in the same way you do a TLC match, you know, or a TLC pay-per-view. You have a table match, you have a ladder match, you have a chair match, you have a TLC match. Those are four matches right there. With the Fatal 4-Way, you can do something very, very similar. So, to be honest, I think that they kind of dropped the ball there. I also think that there was some of the matches were actually really, really good. The R-Truth Miz match was actually pretty good.
Really good.
And it didn't get quite the pop that you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, to be honest, I liked the main event. I actually liked Sheamus, Randy Orton, Edge, Cena match. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The one thing I did not like, though, is I did not like having NXT come out and, you know, destroy house and then Sheamus getting a crap win. I did not like that.
Neither did I. I actually was kind of disappointed about that whole part. I mean, they could have had him win it different ways, but apparently, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles, as they may say.
Yeah.
But I don't know, dude. He could have won it any other way, but why did he have to win it like that? That was just crap to me. But that was a pay-per-view. It was all right. Raw, we have the NXT. You asked if the NXT storyline is going the right direction. I think it is, actually. I think everything is doing good. What do you think?
I'm starting to think that it isn't. I think that there isn't that much intrigue there anymore for me. I think that you need to have some sort of mystery surrounding what they're doing, and then have like a little bit of a reveal and a little bit more to kind of keep people on their toes. And I think that they're kind of falling flat on that. I think that with what they're doing, just having them come out and beat up everybody every single week is getting a little boring. When they came out and beat up the announced team, and then you had Raw come out and beat up NXT, I thought that was great. I thought that was really good, and I thought it could have gone places. But then you just have them come out and just beat up Cena, and then beat up Orton, and beat up Edge, and, you know, it's like, who cares now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't do much for me. It really doesn't. So I don't think they're going in the right direction. The other thing that I am kind of curious to see if you like this direction. Do you like the anonymous GM?
No, it's the anonymous GM is stupid. That was way too old already. They need to just go ahead and stop that. Because who cares? I mean, the anonymous GM says you cannot touch any WWE superstar. Okay, so they beat up the ring people. Come on. I mean, that's just stupid. They need to just say this person, he is now the GM, which they're not, you know, they probably will and be something stupid, completely stupid on the WWE. If they say, hey, it was Daniel Bryan, I would actually kind of laugh because I find it funny, but I know it's not. I know that's not the plan, but
yeah.
Should Orton take time off or should he stay going? I mean, you know, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're cold, you're cold. He's hot. What do you think, man?
One of the things I thought at the pay-per-view was, you know, they had all four people in the ring at the same time. And I think that he would have really benefited from having it be the tag style because it would have been basically a tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he would be able to have time off, come in the ring, do a couple things, go back out. I mean, he really is hurt, you know. I mean, he is legitimately hurt, and I'm surprised that he's actually still doing some wrestling. You know, they could do something to not, like, have him still on TV maybe, but don't have him actually wrestling. Like, just have him come out, cut promos, because he is so over right now. And the focus of every Raw should be on Randy Orton. focus of every Raw. And he should be going after the title. He should actually be going after the title and then do an injury storyline where he's still on TV, but he's like, I can't wrestle. The doctors won't allow me. You know, basically a Stone Cold like storyline. Mm-hmm. That's what I would have. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think they're doing the right thing right now with them. I think that he'll get a title run by the end of the year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's main eventing WrestleMania, truthfully.
Oh, he will.
But yeah. But we were talking about this earlier. Three Money in the Bank ladder match winners, which is basically one at WrestleMania, and then two on the pay-per-view. Is that too many? I actually don't think it is. I think it can, if it's done properly, I think in a way, I think the pay-per-view should say you have X amount of time to cash it in, or you have to cash it in by, like, we'll say SummerSlam or something like that. I think there should be a limit on that one, but I think the one at WrestleMania should be whenever you want to do it.
The problem I have with it is that the Royal Rumble happens once a year, and that is probably my favorite pay-per-view to see. Because it's cool, you know? I mean, you're like, who's going to come out next, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, you're really, like, focused on the match. And that's a match I think everybody likes to watch, you know? Everybody likes to watch the Royal Rumble. And it's different, you know? It's very, very different. So the thing with the Money in the Bank ladder match is that it's very special since it's only once a year. And having it, you know, having this pay-per-view, it kind of, I don't know, it almost dilutes it a little. You know, in the same way if you had a Royal Rumble at SummerSlam, it would be like, well, what's the point in doing that? You know, it doesn't, it's like, you know, too much of a good thing is bad. And that's why I'm actually against it, me okay. personally. So, and that's why.
All right, moving on to SmackDown. We have Ray versus Swagger at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I think this is just a little bit too early, just for the simple fact that why isn't Swagger in the match that they're having? He should be in that match. I just think that if he was in the match, I think it would be a little bit better. I think the fact that he's not, I don't know, man.
You're talking about having him in the Money in the Bank ladder match, correct?
Yeah.
So you, like, the thing that I would say, though, is, well, I don't know if Swagger would really help out that match that much. I think Ray would. I think that Ray would help that match out a lot because he could do some crazy stuff off the top of the ladder.
True.
So, yeah, the thing is, the match itself, I mean, they're trying to actually do a big setup for it. I really do hope that in the meantime, they're going to be moving Big Show and Kane towards the main event because, you know, I really think both of them can really shine on SmackDown, especially when there's a void that needs to be filled because, you know, Jericho and Edge being gone, you kind of need some players to step up, which is why they put, you know, Swagger up there. So.
Right. And, I mean, I see that. I don't know. I'm just more trying to figure out. You'd think that, you know, they want to utilize. Like, I guess you're right, having Ray in there too. I think almost you have to have both those guys in the matches to utilize them properly. But, you know, that's the WWE for you, and they went in a different direction. But I do like the direction that they went with the Hardy versus Drew because he finally got his revenge on him after we got sick and tired of so many weeks in a row where Matt Hardy was getting his butt kicked. I was really happy about that.
And it was a good match, too. I mean, they actually gave it a lot of TV time. I mean, they went, like, probably for maybe 20 minutes or so. And on TV time, that's pretty big, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I was actually really impressed by that. And, you know, Andy, I know you're obviously a big Matt Hardy fan, mm-hmm. so I'm sure that you probably were watching the match going, I know exactly what's going to happen here, you know, and see Matt Hardy win. I was impressed by it. So.
And happy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, something else, this week on SmackDown, we had Serena get kicked out of the Straight Edge Society because she was drinking a beer. And, you know, my thoughts are that they actually need more wrestlers, more women wrestlers on SmackDown. You know, I mean, do you think that there might be something else behind it, or is that just it?
Maybe they're trying to get rid of the storyline with CM Punk and the SES. But I think it was just time. They need to bring someone else in. I mean, they already got one guy who's been masked the entire time. Is it Joey Mercury? Or?
That's what the speculation is.
Well, it has to be. Someone has to know who that is. But if it's Joey Mercury, that's fine, you know. But maybe it's supposed to be an all-guys group. I mean, she shaved her head for it, and she was actually a decent wrestler, and I thought she was kind of pretty, to tell you the truth, beforehand. So I think it's going to be nice to see her grow her hair out and see what she looks like in, what, 6 months? No, it would be a year, because it takes 6 months, yeah. So, but other than that, I mean, really, I mean, they just need more women wrestlers, and that's why it's done. I mean, they have a women's title and with, like, what, five women? So it's not very hard to win that.
Yeah, they have two women's titles and I think about 10 women wrestlers. And at any given time, you know, three or four of them are injured. I mean, Michelle McCool is injured right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Lay cool. Speaking of Lay Cool, NXT Low-Key is number one, or as everyone else knows him now, as Caval is number one. Impressed. I was very impressed they put him number one. But they did the same thing to Daniel Bryan and then dropped his butt. So I hope that it stays where it should be. I mean, Loki's an awesome wrestler. I think he's really his actually Brandon something, but he's an awesome wrestler. He's done what he wanted to do. He's actually wrestled in the major crowd. So I'm happy that he's number one. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually really happy he's number one, too. I think that it's kind of nice to give some of these people who have, you know, who are well-known in the wrestling community. I mean, you know, Daniel Bryan was very well-known throughout, you know, many circles, many wrestling circles. And Low-Key is the exact same way. So it's really nice to kind of give them the push because, you know, given somebody like, let's say, you know, was it Husky Harris? You know, I mean, you know... Yeah, some people may know him. You know, they may know his lineage and whatnot, but they're not going to – he's not going to be well-received like Low-Key would. So, but here's the thing. What do you think about Titus O'Neil being kicked
out? Mistake. I actually liked him, man.
Not bad. He wasn't bad.
No. I mean, you're like – he was like – I cannot remember the guy's name, but he did the pounce. I can never remember that guy's name. But, yeah, he did the pounce, and he kind of reminds me of him. But I think this guy's more athletic, if that makes sense. And plus, I'm sorry, but my boy Zack Ryder, you know, the Zack Attack, he was the one training him, and now I don't get to see him, which sucks.
Yeah.
You know, he was a part of the – he was now a part of the Zack Pack, but now he's no longer there. But I'm actually really – in all seriousness, though, I'm really upset that he's gone. Because realistically, Husky Harris, if you would have got rid of him, I would have – you know, I've been like, oh, that's Rotunda's kid. Because he actually does look like him a lot. But – I thought it was a little too early to eliminate someone. This doesn't make sense. I mean, I know they want to squeeze the season three in real fast, but, you know, you got to give some guys a chance. And I think he would have shined if he would have got a couple more matches.
I think so, too. I mean, he is a body. But, like, what about Eli Cottonwood? You know, which is a stupid name, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And all he is a big wrestler. Yeah, he's 7 foot. Who cares? I mean, how many giant people do you need, you know? So. Right.
Plus, I don't like him. I mean, I just he's just big. That's all he is. He's just big. That's all he is, and that's all I can say about him. You know what? Doesn't suck.
GoDaddy.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoData.com. Summer 69, she's right to details. TNA. Abyss with a heel turn? What the heck's going on with this?
Well, here's my question. Do you think that it was too soon? I mean, he had the whole thing with Hogan, and I think the Hall of Fame ring storyline was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But he was actually a pretty big face. I mean, do you think it was good to have him be like kind of a nice, friendly giant, or do you want him to be the monster Abyss? You know, which one do you want?
I want him to be the friendly one because I prefer that character better.
I actually prefer the monster. I actually kind of the heel turn. I don't like the way that they did it, but at the same time. You kind of think, well, which other way are they going to do it?
Well, here's the thing. If someone would have slowly ticked him off, that's a different story. Then I agree with it. But no one ticked him off. He just kind of was, hey, I'm a face, and then, hey, I'm going to turn heel. That's how I thought, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Spanky is going to get another shot at the title after we just talked about him a couple weeks ago. I don't even know how to explain it. What do I think of Brian Kendrick? Brian Kendrick is just an excellent wrestler, but he hasn't innovated himself. You know what I mean? He hasn't changed anything he's done. He's just there. You know what I mean?
You know, one thing, though, I noticed last week and this week is that it's so weird because 2 weeks ago, our last show that we did, I said, I don't think that he's ready. And I watched last week, this week's show, and to be honest, as weird as it sounds, he looked mature. Like, he actually looked much better in the ring. He handled himself a lot different. And I don't know if it's just like there was this gradual transition or if all of a sudden it's just like my eyes were open. But him getting another shot at the title is actually, for me, is a little intriguing because it makes it like he's really fighting hard and an X Division match wasn't going to do it, so they're going to do Ultimate X. And he's going to get the title. And I think it could be a great, great match. So, and the other thing, too, is that I mentioned is that he's getting a push. He beat Desmond Wolfe, who is either, like, that's a huge push, or Wolfe has fallen so hard. I don't know. Which do you think it is?
I think Wolfe might have ticked someone off. That's why it happened. I don't know, dude. I just look at Brian Kendrick when he was this last few days in the WWE. I mean, if things have changed, great. You know, I'm happy for him, but I just don't think things have really changed for him. But I, you know, it is kind of nice to see him back. But also, he needs to do some other moves. He's been doing the same moves over and over again, and I think he needs to be more innovative and just do a couple extra moves. You know, something not new or copy someone, doesn't matter. Just do something else. One thing that I don't understand still is why is AJ Styles now, you know, the next Shane Helms, you know, basically off the mat, off the, you know, there but not there. I don't understand it.
I don't know either. I mean, you and I both like AJ Styles. You know, you and I both know that he is just so high up, you know, in TNA, like in their food chain, really. I mean, he is the, in my opinion, he is the guy. And he has just fallen. You know, he lost to Jay Lethal, who, you know, I was reading reports that TNA management just loves Jay Lethal. So, but he's losing all of these other matches still. And AJ Styles, they're just not giving him quite the storyline that I would have thought that they would have. So, I don't know. I mean, do you think it'll be a year before he's back in the main event or, you know, sooner?
Not really. Here's my thing with AJ. He's over. He's already over. When you have a guy that's over already, that's the huge, huge freaking deal. I mean, look at Ric Flair. Ric Flair has lost thousands of matches. But you never hear people talk about the matches he really lost. You talk about, you know, him being the champion X amount of times. AJ Styles, I keep forgetting that he's held every title multiple times. And it doesn't even, like, oh, really? He lost to that many? It doesn't even register with me. I just think, wow, he's a great wrestler. You know, and him putting over people right now, I don't think it matters. I don't think it really matters at all. I mean, so, Abyss, does he have a stable? Or is it in his head?
So, last week, he was talking about how they made me do it, and they're going to be here soon. And they're telling me this, they're telling me that. So, you know, but they're playing off that he's like kind of a little psychotic, you know, that he's a little deranged in the head. So my question is, do you think that there's actually going to be a group of people coming in? Or are they going to kind of, because I mean, most people are probably expecting somebody to come in. Like they're probably expecting like a Shelton Benjamin, Shane Helms, maybe something like that to come in. Or are they going to swerve us and actually have it be it's all in his head? What do you think?
Well, I think Shelton Benjamin, in all seriousness, I think Shelton Benjamin's going back to the WWE. I don't see him going to, I mean, he could go to TNA seriously and make a ton of money. I think he's coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got his degree. He's probably hitting, I don't know if he hit the indie scene yet, but he's probably enjoying his time off right now.
So take him out of the equation then. Maybe, you know, could it be somebody else?
Like Shane Helms or something like that? No. Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be in his head because that's the only thing that makes sense now. I mean, you can't just bring someone like Shelton Benjamin. No, it has to be in his head, period. You know, unless you have another idea.
I don't know of any other wrestlers that could come in and have, to have a real impact. And I mean, when I said Shane Helms or Shelton Benjamin, I mean, they'd really have to work a program with those people. I mean, they'd really have to build them up because, I mean, Abyss, he is a main eventer right now. And so I don't know who they would have him, you know, be told, you know, to
Scott
do
Hall.
This spot, you know?
Scott Hall.
And they got rid of him, though. I mean, the drunk driving, I mean, they don't want him back. They don't.
Kevin Nash?
Maybe. Maybe Kevin Nash.
Shannon Moore?
I don't know. I don't know. But who knows? I mean, it remains to be seen. Remains to be seen. So,
anyways, hey, I just wanted to say sorry to all our fans real quick. We did not do a show last week. We're in Vegas, and we were planning on doing the show the night before, and I kind of fell asleep really early. And then we said we're going to do it in Vegas, and then we didn't do it. So we didn't have enough show last week. That's why we combined the the show with the last 2 weeks. I just want to say, hey, guys, thanks for listening to the show. And if you want to follow us on the Twitter, AuthorMark86, AP Hughes, AHughes86, that's how you can get a hold of us. And I want to say thanks to Section 86 for hosting the podcast, A6 for editing it. And for Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes, and we're tagging out.